This is episode 61 and focuses on Philip Ward and colleagues' pedagogical case about Duchesne. This is an audio version of the Peppern blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Challenges on the inside and outside. The previous podcast explored the pedagogical case of Patrick, a 7-year-old boy with autism. He was isolated from his peers and caught up in the same movement patterns and habits. Exploring his autism through biopsychomotor and adaptive physical education perspectives, the podcast suggested a number of ways of helping Patrick to develop. It suggested that understanding and consistency could lead to significant improvements in both his approach to and engagement in physical activity. This week's podcast explores Duchesne's life and the conflicting things he witnesses on a daily basis. Loved and supported by his family and church, he is also beset with crime and violence on a daily basis. We learn that his position as a black male has implications in what he can and cannot do, as does his impoverished upbringing. Finally, we learn that trust, achievable goals and role models are three potential ways of making things better until such time as we achieve social justice. Duchesne. Duchesne is an 8-year-old boy who seems to hold the hopes of his family in his hands. He is the youngest of two brothers and lives with his mother and grandmother after his father abandoned the family before he was born. His late brother, the object of much of his father's violence, died 3 years ago when he was crossing the road. Duchesne's mother works two jobs, as a maid and as a waitress, to support the family and to afford the college education for Duchesne that she never had, although she may have been capable of one had she not left school at 16 when she became pregnant with Duchesne's brother. Duchesne himself is of above average intelligence, is good at maths and English, but is overweight. The school nurse says he has been measured as being in the 86th percentile of BMI, but not obese. The neighbourhood around Duchesne and his family's rented apartment plays a big part in his life. On the one hand, the church community are very supportive of him and encouraging, but on the other hand, the area is rife with crimes such as drugs and prostitution. Many of the children in the neighbourhood are already directly and indirectly involved in crime, and many have either dropped out of school or aspire to be involved in elite sport, which in the vast majority of cases is unrealistic. Playing out is difficult because there is no grass to play on, and the nearest park is nearly a mile away and involves crossing several 3- or 4-lane roads only to find broken equipment and broken glass. There is nowhere locally to buy fresh fruit and vegetables, but plenty of places to buy processed and or fast food. Unsurprisingly, given the convenience nature of the shops and restaurants, the family's meals are high in fat, carbohydrates and protein. The family's lifestyle means that both Duchesne's mother and grandmother are obese and diabetic. In another school, Duchesne might be considered gifted and talented in terms of his maths and English, but his school doesn't recognise such things. His teacher, Duchesne feels, doesn't expect much of him, indeed any of the black children, and often appears surprised when he gives a correct and or insightful answer. He wants her to know that he likes school, but she doesn't seem interested. In PE, he has a fun and active time, enjoying sport and the feeling of moving, but this only occurs once a week for 40 minutes. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. Ward and colleagues present Duchesne's pedagogical case from a motor development, cultural and a health promotion stroke public health perspective, before considering these viewpoints through a pedagogical lens, and in the following paragraphs I will do the same. By the age of 8, the motor development literature suggests that Duchesne should have better fundamental movement skills, FMS, than he does as a consequence of limited stimulation and involvement in physical activity. Skills such as running, locomotion, and catching, object control, have been described as the base camp of the mountain of motor development, but Duchesne has not enjoyed appropriate practice, modelling or feedback on his activity. His mother, by working two jobs and being obese, doesn't have the energy or time to be active with him, and his local environment is not conducive to any sort of outdoor play. Without regular physical activity, his development delays in FMS will certainly prove problematic and will act as a proficiency barrier to Duchesne's ability to successfully engage in sports and lifetime physical activity. Without motor intervention, which can significantly impact after 8 to 12 weeks and 16 to 24 lessons of 30 to 45 minutes per session, Duchesne's lower physical activity levels, inadequate fitness, and poor self-perception of motor competence will only serve to further inhibit his physical activity levels. From a cultural studies perspective, it becomes clear that Duchaine's narrative as a black American, son of a single mother in both a high poverty community and school, is not unusual. His life presents him with many mixed messages. His blackness and maleness intersect with his high weight and impoverished status. His experiences of violence and grief intersect with the support of his family and church, and the respective encouragement and support and spiritual upbringing. As a consequence, his ethnicity is largely reflected in his cultural heritage, i.e. his social experiences, his way of life, i.e. food and music choices, and his material possessions. In this way, his race and ethnicity are separate and are ideas constructed by society and not biology, as race, for example, is based on visible human attributes, i.e. skin tone and colour, and not genetic markers. Blackness and maleness, for example, are depicted in stereotypical ways. Black males are better athletes, but are less intelligent, society believes, than their white counterparts, and therefore black males and their teachers are often led to believe this. To be intelligent, black and male, is often portrayed as acting white or selling out, and is the focus of ridicule. This in turn leads young men to underperform rather than be bullied. Simultaneously, about 30% of black youth are reported to live in poverty, which is significantly higher than white 12% and Asian 14% youth. The low social economic status of their families have significant adverse impact on obesity and health. Therefore, as a consequence of poor diet and a lack of activity in the home, it is vital that the school model good behaviour in terms of a healthy diet and daily physical activity. While one long-term solution to the problems faced by an estimated 60 million children in the US who live below the poverty line is social justice, this is not something that can hope to positively impact on Duchaine or his community. Therefore, there is a need for health promotion advocacy and intervention by the local community. The use of schemes such as Program Champions, people willing to bring community members together, and peer mentoring, a program at high school level that connects young people with older students who live in their communities and understand their problems and challenges, offer some hope to Duchaine. By using the positive and safe environments afforded by the church and school, it is possible to enhance the plans these children and their families have for physical activity. It seems to be beyond the influence of traditional classroom practices in physical education, and therefore teachers need to work with the community to overcome the significant barriers that exist to a healthy lifestyle. It is clear that there is a fair degree of environmental determinism, or put more simply, the odds and expectations are certainly stacked against Duchaine. That has been built upon social and ecological factors. Poverty, disabling family structures, health challenges, violence and personal and social behaviours place children like Duchaine at risk. Only by helping students to remain on a path towards health, academic and socioeconomic outcomes can the cycle be broken, but that requires some joined-up thinking. Trust between teachers, students and communities needs to be developed. Students need to set high but achievable goals and be helped to achieve them, and they need positive role models. In many cases, this means that physical education is not well placed to act alone, especially with one lesson a week. Consequently, before and after school and church activities are vital and can complement formal physical education and help Duchaine and millions like him. Fundamentally, however, we need to continually strive for social justice. But alongside that, we also need to put the unity back in community. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your lessons and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will discuss Gay Timkin and colleagues' pedicultural case about Teresa. Thank you.